Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
I'm sure you're surprised to see me up here, but Brother Obed's not here. Won't be here for a while. So this evening, I'd like for us to study Romans chapter 6. That's going to be the lesson for tonight. Romans chapter 6. Ever since we've studied this book, I kind of got stuck on Romans chapter 6, and I like it because I've heard it in so many ways. I listen to debates. Baptism, is it necessary? Is it not? This is a good chapter to go to because it tells us in detail what we have to do. So, but that's just the thought. That's not the whole lesson. I also like what the Apostle Paul does here in Romans chapter 6, verse 1. He begins with the question. And after, you know, I was touching up on my lesson today, and I said, okay, now I kind of understand what the question's all about. You know, sometimes we read the scriptures and we really don't understand a part of it, but if we read it enough, we go back, you know, we finally get the picture. But we'll talk about that. But before we go into Romans chapter 6, let's begin with chapter 1, just so we can have an idea of what we're getting into chapter 6. So Romans chapter 1, I'd like for us to look at chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. And I'd like to thank Brother Alex for his lesson, and just to let him know that he used all my scripture for tonight. So, thank you, Brother Alex. So, Romans chapter 1, I was fascinated with these two verses because, like I said, I've read, you know, I read scripture, and sometimes I don't understand certain things, but when I read this, I said, oh, wow, I hadn't seen this. So verses 3 and 4. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. So what the Apostle Paul is telling us here, he says, Jesus is a descendant, physically, he's a descendant of David, physically. But spiritually, he's what? He's declaring he's the Son of God. So that's the first thing I wanted us to see. And we want to see this Jesus, the Son of God. Not necessarily the descendant of David, but Jesus, the Son of God. Because he says, like we read there, he's with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. So he has this power because why? Because he resurrected from the dead on the third day. If we read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it talks about the resurrection. What is the gospel according to Paul there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15? The death, the burial, and his resurrection. This is the gospel that the Apostle Paul is preaching. So this is the first thing I see here in Romans chapter 1. And the second thing I want us to see is verse 16 of chapter 1. And we've read this several times. And we have to remember this because when we go out and preach the gospel, it's not you. It's not about you. But the power is in what? In the word. Salvation is in the power, is in the word of God, not in you. So he says, the Apostle Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God for what? Unto salvation. This is why it's important to preach the gospel, because it has the power to save. The reason the Apostle Paul is telling us this is because once we get into chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, he blames the Jews that they're sinful. Who else does he blame? Who else is guilty of sin? The Gentiles. So whether we be a Jew or a Gentile, we're guilty of sin. Brother Kevin.
You mentioned that you read debates. This verse is very powerful. It is not a gospel. It is the gospel. It's a definite article.
Yes, sir.
For it is the power, not they are the power. It is singular. When Paul writes to the Galatians, he speaks about another gospel, which is not another, but a perversion of the gospel. It's a singular thing. And you see many people claiming to have the gospel, but there is only one. It is unique.
Ephesians chapter 4, verses beginning with verse 1, says that there's one God, one faith, one baptism. So we see there the oneness in God. Another one that comes to mind is Matthew, Mark, Luke, John chapter 14, beginning with verse 1. We see that Jesus says that what? And he emphasizes that it's the, or the. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father but. So we see there what Brother Kevin is saying. The one is the one in God. So the power is in the gospel. Yes, sir. So we see an example in Scripture also that what do? They're using traditions of men as what? As the law, as God's word. So this is what the Apostle Paul is saying. He says, okay, so the power is in the gospel, is in the word. To save. So this is why it's important for us to preach the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Brother Mingo.
I was thinking when you were talking about Christ and the Word, and we read about who the Word is, and 1 Corinthians 1:21, God's Word says, or actually 1 Corinthians 1:24, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God.
Amen. So then we see that the power is in the gospel to save. But once again, what the Apostle Paul is doing is that he's telling us, okay, if you're a Jew, you're guilty of sin. If you're a Gentile, you're also guilty of sin. And so as we continue, if we turn over to Romans chapter 3, verse 23, what does verse 23 say? 23 and 24. So the conclusion is, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace to the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So it is through faith, but it's God's grace that saves us. And we'll see that being said several times to this lesson. And Brother Alex touched on that in his lesson as well. So what is, really quick, what is God's grace? What is that grace that saves us?
It's a favor that God did for us.
Okay.
By sending his son to pay the price that we could not pay.
Okay. So according to the Apostle Paul here, the Jew is guilty of sin and the Gentile is guilty of sin. So we're all guilty of sin. Okay? So God's grace, even though we're guilty, because we are guilty, God's grace, you know, we have salvation in God's grace, because even though we're guilty, Jesus Christ, and Brother Alex, I think, read it in Ephesians chapter 2. God's grace is what saves us. It's what, because of sending his son to die on the cross for our sins. That's the grace of God, even though we are guilty. You know, I think of, we always use Jeffrey Dahmer as an example, you know, of somebody that obeyed the gospel in prison. But I think about this. Because he obeyed the gospel, his sins were forgiven. So that mean he gets a free get out of jail card? No, he has to pay for his sins or for what crimes he committed. He still has to pay for them. And he has to spend his time in prison, or had to spend his time. But that's just a thought. Yes, ma'am. Okay.
He's forgiving our sins even though we don't deserve it, no matter how hard we try or anything we've ever done. It's through the blood of Christ that we're forgiven. As long as we're faithful and following him, we still don't deserve it, but at least he's allowing us to be forgiven.
When we obey the gospel, because there is salvation, there is power in that gospel. So there's something that we have to do, is obey the gospel, because God has given us everything we need for salvation. We have to accept it. And really quick, because I wanted to use just the first 15 minutes explaining before we went into Romans chapter 6. And so we see here that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Verse 29 of the same chapter, chapter 3, he poses the question, is he the God of the Jews only? Isn't he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. So he's telling us, yeah, God is the God of both Jew and Gentile, seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. So we see here, what the Apostle Paul is telling us. So now that we know that we're all guilty because of sin, let's go to the question in Romans chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He's posing a question. So this is where I kind of, you know, okay, I said, I understand where the Apostle Paul is coming from, because the Jews thought that they were God's chosen people and they were the saved ones and no one else. But according to the Apostle Paul, because of sin, we're all guilty. This is what we said about grace. So it even though we're guilty, okay, should we continue in sin so that grace that God gives us may abound? This is how the Apostle Paul is asking that question. He says, so if grace comes because I'm a sinner, so should I continue in sin? So that that grace may abound? Do we kind of see what the question is, how the Apostle Paul is posing this this question? Hope you see it the way I do. So because he's talking about we have all sinned. Okay, so if we're all sinners, we have God's grace. So should I continue in sin so that God's grace will continue for me? Doesn't work that way. And then he goes into telling us what has happened because we have obeyed the gospel. But before we go into that, let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Really quick. Because Ephesians talks about God's grace. And I'm going to read just about half of the chapter, beginning with verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies. No, that's not the Ephesians. Did I say Ephesians chapter 2? Okay, I'm reading Philippians. Sorry. I was hoping you guys would catch it, but. Okay, Ephesians chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. And you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world. And this is before we obeyed the gospel. He's telling us what state we're in. We're in the state of sin. Okay? And he's explaining wherein we were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations, or we lived our lives in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, this is what we talked about just a minute ago, as far as God's mercy, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. So even though we didn't deserve it. But we see the picture here. Before we obeyed the gospel, it says that I don't think God was even a part of our life or even in our thoughts. And maybe he was, but he was far away. But we lived according to me. And we were in sin. Is what the Apostle Paul is telling the Ephesians here in chapter 2. But we see God's grace. Let's continue reading here in Ephesians. Verse 7. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us, to Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are of his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And so we see here, and this is another, I think, another part of scripture that we kind of trip on, because they say, okay, so it's not by my works. I can't save myself. But what scripture, what the Apostle Paul here is telling us is that, yes, I cannot save myself, but it's God's grace that saves me, that gives me that salvation. It's because of God. And there's nothing that I can do. So they say, okay, so you can't work. You can't, you know, James talks about Faith without works. So there has to be something in our part to show that we have faith in God and that we obey. But other people twist this and they say, you see, we can't work. There's nothing that we can do, you know, as part of salvation. Yes, sir.
When you use a word in Scripture, works, one passage it says you can't use it or can't have it. The other Scripture says you must have it. You have to understand that it's not the same works. One is works of meritorious self-righteousness, which is spoken against. The other is works of obedience. Both are works. Mm-hmm. But you can't just say works and in a generic sense, because the Bible speaks of them indifferently in two places.
Okay. So we do have to have faith and have works to show that we believe. Hebrews 11, verse 6. What does it say? Without faith, it's impossible to please God, for he that comes must believe that he is, and a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So what's it saying? You know, we have to have faith, but we have to diligently seek God. And that's what Brother Kevin is saying. So let's go to Romans because we're down to about 9 minutes. Romans chapter 6. Let's go into into several of these verses. Because now that we've understood that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the Apostle Paul poses the question here to the Romans. He says, you know, shall we continue in sin so that grace may abound? What's the answer? Certainly not. He gives us the answer right off. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He says, God forbid. So understanding that what we read in Ephesians chapter 2, you know, before we obeyed the gospel, we lived a life that, you know, away from God, a life of sin, a life according to me. Or you. But now that we have obeyed the gospel, this is how grace is going to abound. And this is how I see it. Let me give you a really quick, hopefully the example will help us. A person that's an addict, whether it be alcohol, drugs, money, whatever it may be, what takes hold of your life? You know, you may say, well, I only drink on weekends. But then before you know it, you're drinking a couple days before the weekend, and then you're drinking every day. So what has a hold of your life? Sin. That thing that we're after has taken over our lives and has taken control, and every day it's in our lives. This is how grace must abound, because the Apostle Paul says here, so for grace to abound, he says, don't you know? He says, don't you know, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin, because we have obeyed the gospel, we are dead to sin. God has forgiven us of our sins. So how can sin reign in our bodies, continue to reign? The other verses that I also had to think about are also about baptism. Romans chapter 2, verse 38. You know, repent and be baptized. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, there we go. I'm still in the book of Romans. Acts chapter 8, also. I like the example of Philip and the eunuch. He preaches to him Jesus Christ, and the eunuch says, hey, here's water. What keeps me from being baptized? They both got down, and Philip baptized the eunuch. So now that we have obeyed the gospel, then what the Apostle Paul is telling us in, here in Romans chapter 6 is that that sin that had control of our lives shouldn't have control of our lives now, but it's God's grace that has control of our lives. Galatians, I believe chapter 5 or chapter 6 talks about the walking in the Spirit. And it says that it's what? Peace, love, you know, all these things. That's God's grace. That's what we're looking for, to reign in our daily bodies, that we should live for. This is what the Apostle Paul here is saying. Let's continue in verse 2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And I'm reading chapter 5. God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? So what the Apostle Paul does here then, knowing that we are sinners, he says, don't you know that you've obeyed the gospel? And this is what happened. This is what's occurred in your life. We've been forgiven of our sins. Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? So that old me is buried in that water of baptism. And the new me should rise from the dead. That's letting God's grace abound in us. So therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So there has to be a change. Doesn't there? There has to be a change in our lives. We're not the old me, the one created or the one living in sin. It's got to be the new creature created by God. And I also think of what Jesus tells the lady at the well. He says, I am the water that gives, you know, life. And then he continues to say, he says, God is a spirit. And in order to worship me, you must worship me in spirit and in truth. So in order for us to be able to worship God in spirit and in truth, we have to be what? We have to be spiritual. Not that physical me, but that spiritual me. The one that God has created through baptism. And so this is what the Apostle Paul is saying. So let's go back to verse 1, because our time is up. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin so that grace may abound? And hopefully we understand this question. And how the Apostle Paul is posing this question to us. And I believe, you know, as I read the whole chapter, I see the Apostle Paul defining grace. Even though he's using baptism and he's telling us all the details that happen when we are baptized, but he's defining grace. He's saying, this is God's grace. This is what you've come into. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen. And so, like Brother Mingo said, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. So if we continue in sin, it leads to death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So I'm sorry we couldn't get to chapter, we didn't even begin to get to chapter 6. But we'll keep it on hold for the next time. So thank you for your comments. And let us have a close, let us pray.